Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Bob and Yurt Live. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church. This week, we've already aired, related to the Amy Coney Barrett confirmation hearings, our interview from years ago of one of her own Notre Dame law professors, back when I interviewed Dr. Charles Rice. And our audience was thankful to hear that even though we take such a hard line on abortion strategy and Republican judges trying to hold their feet to the fire, it's about impossible, they were encouraged to hear that such an authority as Notre Dame law professor Charles Rice, the late Charles Rice, agreed with so much of what we present and what we get a lot of grief for. At any rate, you could go to our website, kgov.com, and hear that interview if you've missed it. So I feel that we've done our due diligence and we could change the topic to a different legal matter, a local one, to a Colorado courtroom on Friday, just a few days ago, where a friend of ours, Richard Blake, was on trial after attending an open house at a Denver area mosque. Needless to say, it didn't go well for Richard, even though he had a great attorney from the Pacific Justice Institute, Matthew Park. Matthew, thank you for your work on behalf of the gospel and for helping our friend Richard Blake. Welcome to Bob and Yurt Live.
Thank you for having me today.
Well, you are welcome. A few years back, we interviewed the president of Pacific Justice Institute, Brad Dacus, and that was quite a case. I don't know if you're familiar with that. Cal State had fired a scientist friend of ours when he published a photograph of a dinosaur soft tissue in a prestigious science journal. Have you heard about that case?
Yes, I read about that case. This was before I had joined Pacific Justice.
Okay, so great. Well, they won a settlement there, so that was just awesome. And we've also interviewed Richard here in studio. He has a great concern both for Muslims and about the harmful influence of Islam on governments and societies. And so, Matt, like a good journalist, could we begin with the who, where, what, and when? What led to you guys being in court?
Sure. First of all, Mr. Blake, Richard Blake, he goes by the name Roy. He's an evangelist. He's concerned with the well-beings and rights of the Christians in countries where Christians are persecuted. And specifically, we're talking Pakistan and other Middle East countries, such as Egypt, where Coptic Christians have been under tremendous persecution in recent decades. Mm-hmm. And so Mr. Blake really helps out with the Christians in those regions financially and other means. However, he's able to help.
Yes, so Matthew, Matthew, our church, Denver Bible Church, we have guaranteed to the State Department on behalf of Richard housing or employment for the people that he's trying to bring out of persecution and here to safety in Colorado. So we appreciate that work of his also.
Yes. So Mr. Blake has been quite active in that regard, and Mr. Blake has become quite concerned with the harmful effect of Islam, and we had in-depth conversation with him concerning Islam, and I believe people need to have better understanding of what Islam is. It's not a religious belief, as many people may assume. Islam is an ideology and way of life, and this can be verified talking to any Muslims, any imams. Christians often think, well, Islam is like another religion. Well, actually, it's closer to a communism in that he basically forces people to live under certain law that they prescribe to, and you have no freedom to go against it or move out of that system.
So that Islam, wherever it's in control, in many countries in the world, it doesn't have control. But where it does have control, it's not only a religion, it's also an economic and a political system. And it does not tolerate, like in Iran and a handful of countries around the world, they have on the books that you can be put to death for converting to Christianity or some other religion. So there is no freedom, no true freedom where Islam reigns. And so, yeah, these are good points. It goes far beyond a religion.
Yes. So that's part of Sharia law, where if you want to move yourself away from the system or decide to have another belief, you have to risk your life. And that's how intolerant this whole system is. Mm. And so Mr. Blake has been quite concerned with not only the rights of Christians in those regions, but also just the general harmful effect this ideology will have in this nation, because many medias and people in general, even among Christians, this understanding is quite lacking. So that's what Mr. Blake has been trying to tell the public. Hey, look, you know, Islam is quite dangerous ideology that people need to become aware of. And that's why he was picketing and protesting in front of the North Glen Mosque. It's formerly known as the Denver North Islamic Center. It's in the city of North Glen. And he's been out there picketing and protesting for past 5 years or so.
Matthew, as we leave the topic of the concern about Islam generally and get into the particulars of what happened in North Glen, let me make one final point. The world saw in ISIS, their caliphate in Iraq and Syria, that they were openly, they introduced a slave market and a sex slave market, and they were openly purchasing young women as sex slaves. And human rights organizations have been documenting many hundreds of instances, for example, in Pakistan alone, where young Christian women, even young girls, are kidnapped, forced to convert to Islam, and turned into sex slaves. And it's such a cultural phenomenon that typically law enforcement refuses to intervene. And if parents dare to speak out that their own daughter was kidnapped, then those parents are threatened. So it's a problem beyond what the media and the culture at large recognizes, where Islam is in control.
Yes, and that's the observation that I made about Islam. It's so law-based, so they try to regulate your conduct, your acts, and it's a complete opposite concept of Bible-centered Christian belief, is that God does not condemn our sins, but he forgives. Where in Islam, you could have all the lustful thoughts and imagination in your head, in your heart, but as long as you're not acting upon it. So in case of child prostitution and sex slave, they circumvent their own law so that what they do is becomes unlawful. So it's very law-based type of system, and they justify their act by changing their laws, and they justify it that way. So
I think you just were saying that God does not condone our sin, where in their system, they sort of legitimize their sin.
Right, as long as it's not acted upon, it's okay. So it's a very different concept, but in that sense, I would argue that this is a very evil, and, you know, I spoke with Mr. Blake about this as well, and people do not realize, and there's some, I do understand that this could be upsetting to some people who are listening to this, but there's some part of Christianity which has made an attempt to form an alliance or trying to create a bridge with Islam, arguing that we believe in the same God. People who want to believe that don't have any idea what their Bible, it's called Quran, says about their God, Allah. And I'm strictly quoting from the Quran, and I'm not making this up, but they argue that Allah is the greatest deceiver of all. And that's stated in the Quran. So is that the God we believe? That do we believe that our God Yahweh or is a God that deceives us?
Allah is no God and Muhammad is a false prophet. So when Richard Blake takes this concern and he begins to make his presence known on the public sidewalk, at the Denver North Islamic Center, then could you take the story from there?
Right. So he's been protesting peacefully for many years now. And my understanding is that the mosque began to hire North Glen police officers to act as their private security guards during off hours. And many North Glen police officers have become employees of the North Glen Mosque, and they started harassing Mr. Blake, and that's what Mr. Blake has noticed. And in early part of this year, in January of this year, Mr. Blake was cited for not trespassing, but cited for blocking the sidewalk.
And I know Richard, I've been at events with Richard. I know that he would never, ever impede vehicular traffic, people. In fact, if anything, he would go out of his way to step out of the way to not block people. So that was obviously simply a fabrication.
Yes, and the way the statute is worded is that it's a violation to place any object on a public sidewalk to impede traffic or impede other pedestrian from passing by. And that's not what happened here. Mr. Blake was simply standing on a sidewalk, and he was not stationary. He was moving, from one location to another location. He was moving about on that sidewalk. So the city basically cited him for placing an object on a public road or sidewalk. And I can't understand how the court can interpret that statute as, placing yourself as a placing an object. That's how the court ultimately interpreted the statute.
And today we have every cell phone takes video, fabulous photographs. Did they have video of Richard blocking pedestrians on the sidewalk?
No, the video that they presented during the trial was a video clip of Mr. Blake being flagged by a truck driver and him moving over to that truck driver to engage in a conversation. That's what all the video showed. It did not show Mr. Blake blocking any traffic or blocking any pedestrian.
Right, exactly. And that happens at Planned Parenthood. We've been there many times trying to save unborn children and their mothers from killing their own children. And a car will come up and roll down a window and ask a question. And if you walk up to the car, then over the years that has been, they've tried to cite you because of that, even though it's perfectly normal human behavior and you're not blocking anyone or anything.
Exactly. Basically, this trial wasn't about Mr. Blake blocking any traffic, even though that's the purported claim. You know, what's really going on is that City of North Glen, especially the police department, does not want to see Mr. Blake out there protesting in front of a mosque, which happens to be their employer. That's what this case is all about.
Sure. So then, are there any other facts before I ask you what happened on Friday in court?
Well, Mr. Blake became quite upset during the trial, mainly because he has observed the police officer who was testifying, perjuring herself. This became known during the testimony. And not only that, many facts were being presented stating that the presence of Mr. Blake was causing public security issue or threat to other pedestrian, which couldn't be farther from the truth. Mm. So this was a very emotional trial for Mr. Blake, but I was also quite deeply concerned at the nature of this type of trials, because this has a chilling effect on people's right to free speech. If cities and municipalities start regulating and persecuting people who are rightfully exercising their constitutional right, this will discourage other like-minded people from doing the same, because they'll be afraid of being persecuted and being cited. And so,
yes, Matthew, and we're speaking with Matthew Park, staff attorney with Pacific Justice Institute. Over the years, Matthew, we have been very active out on the streets, and we have many instances where we are peacefully expressing our God-given right to free speech. And whether we're sharing the gospel or calling out some injustice, and those who are in disagreement with us are not only disturbing the peace, but they're even threatening violence. And the police will come, and this is not only in jurisdictions around the Denver metro area, but around the country, and their inclination is to arrest you. When you're doing nothing unlawful, you are completely peaceful and even an attitude of Christ and sharing the gospel. And instead of stopping those who are disturbing the peace or threatening violence, they blame the peaceful person. It happens over and over again. Doug McBurney, my longtime co-host, and I, we were at the Capitol, downtown Denver, and we were holding large signs of aborted children, and we were only saying one phrase. We were saying, know your pro-choice rights. That's all we were saying. Know your pro-choice rights. It was like ironic, right? Because we're trying to get people to realize what it is they're supporting, these pictures of dead babies. And so Doug and I thought we were maybe going to be killed, and the state police came because it's at the Capitol. And they said, well, we're going to arrest you guys. And we were actually thankful, because at least then we were safe. And it did go to trial. And the judge was enraged at the prosecutor wasting the court's time, because we did absolutely nothing conceivably wrong. We were on public property holding signs saying, know your pro-choice rights. There was a recording of the whole thing. So it's normal that, tragically, in our culture, that the authorities will move against the Christian who is peacefully sharing the gospel.
And I do have another case down in Colorado Springs that's coming up in about 10 days. Pastor Jeremy Uberoth in Colorado Springs, he was doing exactly the same. He was basically protesting, picketing across the street from the abortion clinic down there. And, you know, I attended the pretrial conference where, you know, I made it clear to the city attorney that, hey, you guys do not have a case against this pastor. Please just drop this case. It's a complete waste of court resource to try to proceed with this case. And they're adamant that they proceed with this case, not because they necessarily think that they will prevail in a trial, but this is their way of discouraging Christians and others who protest against what you know, what they believe goes against their religious convictions. So by continuing to cite pastors and other evangelists and insisting on trying them, and rather than dismissing the case, what they're actually trying to do is trying to create an environment where there's sending out a message. If you continue to protest out there in front of a abortion clinic or cross the street, we will go after you and we will harass you. And I see this as a form of harassment more than anything else. It's a judicial harassment on behalf of the city of North Glen, city of Colorado Springs. And our government, state and city governments are becoming very politicized, and they're trying to create an environment where, to them, you know, it's, you know, trying to create this quote, politically correct environment, even with judicial process. And that's what I'm seeing happening every day. And it's a gradual, but it's slowly taking place.
Yes. Well, we have evidence that it's been going strong for many years. The perjury that was committed in the case, according to Richard's perspective, could you describe that?
Well, the police officer who testified in court did not even have a personal knowledge of the incident because she, the officer was not present when that video was taking place. She was the second officer to arrive at the scene, and she basically wrote up the report based on a hearsay of another officer at the scene. But during the trial, she testified that she actually saw the part of, or as she was getting to the mosque, she was actually able to observe Mr. Blake violating the city ordinance. But that was an impossibility because the person who called the police actually did that after taking the video. Even if the Officer Hong, who was testifying, if she was the first officer to respond to the scene, she could not have possibly witnessed what was taking place by the time she got to the North Glen Mosque, because it would have taken at least a few minutes to get there at the earliest.
Right.
So that was, and you know, when I pointed this out, then she went on to change her testimony by explaining, well, maybe I have seen another interaction, but there was no other interaction that was in place.
Matthew Park.
Very obvious.
Matthew, how we could relate to that, I'll give you one example. We've had over 100 jury trials in Denver alone on related matters. And in one of those trials, I was charged with two crimes. One was assaulting Dr. abortionist Edward O'Loughlin at Planned Parenthood. I was charged with assaulting him, which is totally a lie. And I was also charged with conspiracy to loiter, those two charges. So thankfully, we had video going of the event from three angles. Otherwise, I would have been convicted because Detective Carol Yates of the Denver Police Department testified she saw me assaulting the abortionist. So I represented myself, and I asked her, well, how did I assault him? Did you see me punch him? Did I punch him? And she said no. I said, well, did I kick him? Was I kicking him? She said no. I said, well, did I headbutt him? Is that what I did? No. Did I knee him? No. Well, did I attack him with my torso? I mean, how? She didn't want to get specific. And then we showed the video frame by frame. I never assaulted him in any conceivable way. I never made any effort toward him. And so I was acquitted on that charge, but I was convicted, maybe the only person in history, of conspiracy to loiter. And I was sentenced to 2 months in jail in Denver County Jail. And I spent that time for conspiracy to loiter. How's that one?
Wow, that's unbelievable. I mean, I think you're clearly demonstrating how even the court system is becoming very politicized to push their own agenda. You know, I guess some people will look at this as an issue of tolerance. You know, we need to be more tolerant toward Islam and other religious belief and other political beliefs such as abortion rights, right to choose. But, you know, on the flip side, people do not realize, particularly in this case, people do not realize that Islam is epitome of intolerance.
Right.
They're willing to kill their own if they dare to just leave their system. So how tolerant is that? So I do not understand, you know, why liberals in this country accept and tolerate Islam, because if anything, logically speaking, they will come back and haunt them, you know.
Yeah, they would behead most of our liberal leaders if they had the power. There have been 38,000 deadly Muslim terrorist attacks in the world since 9/11. That's where they've killed people. 38,000. They're documented. You go to our website, kgov.com/terror. But when the media says Islam is tolerant, we ask how many synagogues are in Mecca? You know, it's a 500 square mile city of a million people. None. How many churches are in the entire country of Saudi Arabia? None. Islam is a religion of intolerance. If it had anything to do with tolerance, then they should have tolerated Richard Blake, Richard Roy Blake. So what happened? We only have a few minutes left. What was the outcome of the trial?
Well, it was a jury trial and deliberation was almost 2 hours. So I know that among jurors, there's quite a disagreement. And after this very long deliberation, they came back and found Mr. Blake guilty. Mm. And I was quite disappointed with the outcome of the case. But, you know, one thing I noticed during the trial was what I was thinking after the trial was, boy, these type of cases, and this is what Pastor Jeremy in Colorado Springs is fortunately doing, is he's actually recording what he's doing out there. And I think that plays a very critical role if this, if anyone ever gets cited without any hard evidence. Basically, it was Mr. Blake's word against the police officer's testimony.
Right.
And it's all up to the jurors to decide whose story that they want to believe. That's what it what this all comes down to.
And even when the one officer was shown to have perjured herself, they still
and not only perjured. Personally, the part that I found most problematic with her testimony was that she stated in record that she was going to cite Mr. Blake even if that truck had voluntarily stopped, came to stop.
Wow. So, well, didn't Jesus say, "Blessed are you when men persecute you and speak all manner of wickedness against you for my name's sake"? So Richard,
because he was persecuted before we were persecuted.
Yes. So. Yeah, the Lord. So Richard and you, Matthew Park, you guys are storing up riches in heaven. Thank you very much for that. So has the judge sentenced Richard yet?
Yes, he was fined, I believe, $500, $350, of which was suspended on condition that Mr. Blake no longer protests outside of the mosque. And the troubling, and this is part where it's not, unfortunately, not appealable because this was stated after the trial. But basically, the judge instructed the police officer who was present to make sure to charge Mr. Blake again if he's seen anywhere near that sidewalk. And so, you know, that clearly tells me this was, you know, really motivated to just discourage Mr. Blake from protesting out there. This had nothing to do with this purported charge of blocking the sidewalk because the judge wanted to make sure Mr. Blake is no longer out there protesting.
So, well, we will ask Richard if he can help us pick a date, and I'll make a commitment to go in his place, and perhaps we could bring 10 people with us. So where they have removed one person, with God's help, perhaps we'll go there with 10 people and share the gospel with people.
It would be great, because I believe that Mr. Blake has, and or anyone else, has every right to be out there.
Of course, right. Was this in Adams County, the court?
North Glen.
Oh, it was in a local, okay. We had a case in Adams County, and I actually prevailed, and there are videos online attacking me, my family, in violation of a standing restraining order, and the judge didn't like that the jury agreed with me, and so he, you know, begrudgingly, he said, okay, well, that's the end of the case, but I'm not going to order the videos to be taken down. They could remain online. So how is that?
Wow.
So no, if you're trying to stand for the Lord, the courts generally are going to move against you. So we are out of time, Matthew Park, but wow, I want to thank you for working with Pacific Justice Institute and on behalf of Richard Blake. And please let Pastor Jeremy down in Colorado Springs know that we're with him and we're praying for him and very concerned.
Well, thank you. Thank you for this interview. It was my honor.
You're very welcome. And we will link to the Pacific Justice Institute if you're interested in finding out more about their work. And we'll follow up with Richard Roy Blake. He is an author and so has gone by both names. So what an honor to talk with Matthew Park and to be in the fight with Richard. This is Bob Enyart. May God bless you.